Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and the readings are taken from Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6, and 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 16. The talk is by the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled Jesus on Judging.
First reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbour, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbour's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is taken from the first letter of Paul as he wrote to the Christians at Corinth. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. And this section is entitled, God's Wisdom Revealed by the Spirit. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye hath seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God freely has given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, St. James's Church. I bring this to you pre-recorded, so I can't be with you Sunday morning, but I hope you're well. If you're new here, my name's Dave, and I'm the curate. And this reminds me of the COVID times, like talking to a camera. It's very strange, and it's a skill I've forgotten. So, it's good to practice it again. I hope you're well. So today we're talking about judgment. And I wanted to open up with a story from Taunton Matters community page on Facebook. I don't know if you're part of it, but there's lots of conversations, lots of avarice about what's going on in the community, but also a lot of venting and a lot of like where people are at, what's going on, good and bad. So this week, this comment caught my eye, and normally I think it would just like wash over me, or I'd read it and think nothing of it. But actually, I think it holds power, and it kind of says about what our culture is doing today. She says, "To whoever has just taken £30 worth of food from the Wellsprings area from my Just Eat, knowing it wasn't yours, that was my children's tea, and in so I hope you enjoy your food, but thank you for showing there is nice people out there," with angry emoji, rude emoji, another steaming from the nose emoji. They're like little symbols you get as on messages. And what follows are 114 angry and cry face emojis and 62 comments. Now, if you click to open those comments, you start to read some of them. Now, some are trying to be helpful, saying you'll get a refund or it's okay. But there's a lot there that are also saying, "Sorry to hear this. There are some awful people out there. Can't you report it to Just Eat?" That's a food delivery company. "Do you not have any other food for your kids? Annoying this has happened." And she replies, "Of course I do. I end up cooking in the end. It's not the point of having other food. It's the fact that £30 was spent and someone else ate it. The address and name would have been on the receipt as it always is. They could have shown some heart and knocked on the door or even messaged, just so that some people are just plain rude. People these days," people say, "you know, get a refund." Like, and there's lots of people complaining about this delivery company. There are other delivery companies available. Best thing is probably just to go and get it yourself, if you're able to. But anyway, there's this like vein of like annoyance. But it's not just there. It's also put, it's like on a megaphone. It's put on this social media platform, and the social media is like an echo chamber where you get people agreeing with you, and you get built up together in this angst and this anger and this judgment on the individual. Now, she doesn't know who the food's gone to. She doesn't know what's happened there, but there's very much a judgment call made already that they are rude, they're inconsiderate. Like, what are they thinking? Anyway, later on, this reply comes from this other woman and says, "I have a feeling that was us. We were just as cheesed off and tried to refuse it as we didn't want it, but basically got told we should take the food and get the refund. My first thought was that the person getting our order was going to be annoyed, but he wouldn't take the food to you. He wouldn't take it back. He wouldn't take it back to the store. It's not our fault, so apply for the full refund. We have." And she later says they shouldn't even enjoy the food. So that it was interesting there to get the reply. So actually, sometimes we perceive things, don't we? We think the worst of people. And we just assume it's because they're rude, they're inconsiderate. Because actually, in this situation, she had very little choice and she had to take the food. And that really just spoke to me that actually our culture, we are hypercritical of others. We can often see the worst in people. And actually, social media brings that, exaggerates it. So this morning we're talking about the imagery, the ridiculous comical imagery of the log in your eye and the speck in your neighbor's eye. And you're trying to get that speck out of the neighbor's eye, even though you have this log in yours. First, though, I want to talk about what judgment is and what it's not. So when Jesus talks about judgment, he's not talking about the authority of the state. Jesus recognizes Pilate's authority and God-given right to judge. He's not talking about the exercise of authority in the home, where we have to set boundaries for our children and we have to have some kind of discipline in order to teach them. And also within the church, there's a way like to teach and build one another up and almost uncover the worst in ourselves in order to learn from it, in order to be more like Jesus. There's a place for that in the church, because we are disciples. We are always wanting to learn, and we are all required to make valued judgments. Sometimes it's for the safety of ourselves, safety of others, to choose a different course of action. We have to judge and think, actually, what is the best thing to do in this situation here? Now, Jesus is not attacking these things. What he's on about is the attitude behind it. So I think judgment is when we call out a perceived evil in another person. And we do this without loving them, without seeking even to relate to them. We draw attention to their action that we think they've got wrong. We try and shame them. We pour shame onto them. We attack their identity. And it often comes from a self-righteous motive. I am right. I need to teach this person why they are wrong. And therefore I shall say these harsh words. And they will learn from it and be a better person. Does that ever work? Has it ever worked? No. It is a powerful, cutting thing. There's this amazing story in Matthew 9 where Jesus says, let me read it to you, because it's such a simple verse. You could just pass by it and it might not just do anything for you. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Here we have a man sitting in a tax collector's booth. Now, to do that, you are collecting the money from the Jews and giving it to the Romans. You have betrayed your people. You have betrayed your family. You're in a shameful profession. And can you imagine how many judgmental looks he must have got every day from every person queuing up, from every person passing by? Scorn, and that's just thinking like, what an evil person he must be all the time. People looking on him with judgment. And yet he had wealth, he had power, he had a Roman guard. In some perspectives, he's living a wealthy, good life. But he was having a hard time with judgment. And then you have this man who walks past and looks at him. And he says, "Follow me." Now, this might have been the first time that someone had looked upon Matthew without judgment. Jesus could see the tax collector booth. He could see his riches. He could see all those things on the surface. And yet he saw his heart. He saw a man who needed rescuing. And he didn't come out with, "What are you doing? Why are you a tax collector?" He didn't. None of that happened. He looked on him with love and said, "Follow me." And then he had dinner at his house. That's just incredible. And I think that love must have been irresistible for someone to look on him and say, "Follow me." And can you imagine the shockwaves that came out from that statement, "Follow me"? His disciples around him must have just been like, no, don't do this. Do you know who this man is? He's a tax collector. You don't go near him. He's the worst of the worst. You know, you chose me, I'm a fisherman, but a tax collector? Seriously, they must have questioned their leader, like, are we following the right man here? This is not how things are done. Shockwaves must have gone out from that two very little words. And it's incredible how often, actually, we might feel judged, or we judge others. In our simple acts, it's the way we look, our body language, things that happen, like, I don't know if you've ever been called names, or you've had statements said on you, like, "Why are you not good enough?" Or, "Why are you not so-and-so? And they hurt, don't they? And we carry them with us. And yet we have a God who looks on us with loving eyes and says, "Follow me." It is irresistible. The gospel, the good news, is irresistible. And it was confusing for the religious elites who looked and judged people like Matthew and found them wanting. And yet Jesus could see who they really were. So if you feel like you're being found wanted, if you feel like you're maybe not good enough, or you know, all these words of community, of the culture around us, you're not young enough, you're not trendy enough, you're not, you know, all these things, they have power, and yet Jesus is more powerful. So Jesus says, do not judge, or you will be judged. And the measure stick, the measurement that you use to judge others will be measured for you. So it's often it's easy to find yourself in the judging seat, isn't it? It's like the self-righteous seat where you're sitting there and you're looking at someone else and you're thinking, you know, you're condemning them. They have done wrong and you're condemning them. And yet what Jesus is saying is you will find yourself in the dock. You will find yourself in that seat as well before the ultimate judge. And what mercy and what grace have you shown to others? Or what judgment have you shown to others will be shown to you too. And it is so tempting just to look at the failure of others, isn't it? Because it's easier than looking at my own failures, my own faults, my own weaknesses. It's so easy to gossip, to talk about someone else, than actually try and think, what do I need to change? It's so easy to look at the speck of dirt in someone else's eye, than admit that I am being blinded, my vision is being blurred by the sin that I carry, and I need help. So let us think about that log in our own eye. It's like a mask that we wear. A few weeks ago we talked about a hypocrite. It's like a hypocrite was a Greek actor who wore a mask and with a certain emotion on it. And it's so easy to wear a mask, isn't it? It's so easy to pretend like that we're great, we're perfect, and everyone else has got it wrong. It's so easy not to hear critical statements when people say things to you that might have a grain of truth. It's so easy just to throw it back at them. And I've learned to respect criticism from people that I know and trust. I know, and it's not always plain sailing. So I remember there's some people in this congregation that I remember I received criticism from, and it was hard. It's like, oh, I don't want to do this. You know, is this an attack? Is this actually true? Is this just them? And you can't help but think, who do they think they are? You know, all these kind of thoughts, they churn up in you. But then as I've got to know these people, I know that they have my best interests at heart. And actually they love the church and they love what's happening and they love God. And so actually might they be also be trying to love me by building me up, by supporting me, by actually saying, hey Dave, you've got this wrong this time, I think you should have done this. And instead of hearing I'm a failure, what am I going to learn from this, it's actually to look for the kernel of truth and ask God, you know, to open my eyes. And the best way to do that is to get to know people, is relationships, and to get to know those you can trust, who can actually speak into your life with the authority that you've given them and allow them to make judgment. And it can be a healthy thing. So I've learned to do that better. I'm still learning. But it also means there are voices you must ignore. So sometimes people will say things and it's not through relationship, it's through their own need for something. And it's good to learn when to tune in and when to tune out, or when to let it wash over you and reject it, or when to take it in, allow it to sink in, take it on board. And I'm thankful for those that have spent time with me, and and we've built that trust, and I'm grateful for it. Now, a wonderful book that I love is Scott Peck, The Different Drum. There's so much wisdom in here, and he writes about community and what it means and what it could be and the faults and things that can go wrong in it. And he says this, Paradoxically, it's a big word, isn't it? Paradoxically, a group of humans become healing and converting only after its members have learned to stop trying to heal and convert. Paradoxically, a group of humans becomes healing and converting only after its members have learned to stop trying to heal and convert. Community is a safe place precisely because no one is attempting to heal or convert you, to fix you, to change you. Instead, the members accept you as you are. You are free to be you. And being so free, you are free to discard defenses, the masks, the disguises that you wear. You're free to seek your own psychological and spiritual health, free to become your whole and holy self. When Jesus asked Matthew to follow him, he didn't start with, you know, this is what needs to change in order for that to happen. This is how you're going to be converted. This is healing. He didn't call out the sins. He didn't see that. What he did was accepted him as he was, and he loved him and said, come follow me. And isn't that a wonderful gift to have from God, but also to each other, to accept one another, to stop trying to change one another, but accept one another and see the gift that God actually is in you. You know, what gifts has he given you? What is your role here? And how are we all going to become our whole and holy self? Is by being with one another, by relating, and by not casting judgment. Proverbs 15:4 says that the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. The tongue can be very damaging, but it can also bring healing. And this morning, as we have communion, as you have coffee with one another, just hold that, hold that. You have power, and will you use it for healing or destruction? Look twice at people and see them as God sees them. And may we all grow closer to what it means to be the church of God, the bride of Christ, and disciples of Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.